Making me hungry. Hi, you're on KNYOLP in Fort Bragg. How can I help you? Are you there?
Hello, Marco?
Hi. Hi. Can you hear me okay? Because I can hear you fine.
At first it was terribly faint. Now it's coming in clear.
Okay. All right. Good. So you've called your Ezekiel Kralin. I just make sure that everybody knows who you are. And you've called to read your story tonight?
Yes, I'd love to.
Okay. Would you like to start that now, or did you want to talk about something before you start reading?
I don't know.
Okay, well, read your...
Let me just read it.
Good.
All right. It's called Down with the Rainbow Flag. Readers, please note, I use the new word Thracian as a dignified replacement for the conventional word gay as it applies to homosexual men, and the new word Hellene or Hellenic as a more elegant substitute for the acronym LGBT or for the word queer. June 26, 1990. Dear editor, I feel insulted and outraged as if slapped in the face by the SF Sentinel's article of June 25, 1990, page 18, entitled The Rainbow Flag, Symbol of Our Pride. If, in truth, our flag's origin comes from one Gilbert Baker, just as he describes, then may Goddess have mercy on our fag-dyke souls. Not only does this article offend my sensibilities as a Hellene, but likewise as an artist, for the following four reasons. One, originality, the rainbow. Unless my memory fails me, the true author of the rainbow is Mother Nature herself, whose bright iris peers down the tunnel of artistic history. From its inception, long, long before the existence of Hellenic rites, and of humans, for that matter, the act of placing this rainbow on a rectangle of cloth is about as innovative as gluing a blade of grass on a postcard. Therefore, to be original, an artist must incorporate the rainbow colors in a unique manner not yet done by either nature or artist, something our, quote, artistic wizard, unquote, has failed to do. Besides, no talent whatsoever is required to paint, draw, or sew six plain bars of color. Gilbert Baker made reference to the rainbow as an extension of the free speech movement and, quote, a perfect reflection of lesbian and gay freedom, because the flag is the rainbow, and the rainbow is a very beautiful and magical part of nature, unquote. Gobbledygook, Mr. Baker, gobbledygook and hogwash. You can replace the rainbow with the butterfly, the flower, the horse, the sunrise, the snowflake, the ocean, or any other natural wonder and say the same thing. The rainbow in and of itself has no immediate correlation with gay rights, for it has been used throughout the ages as the backdrop for a myriad of themes and causes, starting perhaps with Noah's Ark, the most recent being Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition. In short, like the heart and the star, the rainbow has been overdone and overworked. Two, add injury to insult. This celebrated artiste brags that substance abuse was the catalyst for his supposedly brilliant concept of inventing the rainbow. I quote, the idea came to me during an acid trip, unquote. Who needs an acid trip to imagine a rainbow? Who even needs an artist? Then he describes how his girlfriend, Fairy, spelled F-A-I-R-I-E, helped him dye the fabric for this remarkable flag, commenting that, quote, it was all a very organic experience, unquote. Right, lady, as organic as a plastic rotten apple in Denmark. So here we have this hippy-dippy couple, apparently heterosexual, dropping acid and probably laughing all the way to the bank for pulling the rainbow wool over the eyes of our lesbian Thracian community. This is the father of our flag? What sort of role model is this to pass on to our queer youth? Three, perhaps Ms. Fairy was Gilbert's girlfriend only in the platonic sense. However, the article gave no indication of that. Nor was there any evidence of Gilbert's achievements or sacrifices on behalf of same-sex civil rights. Though he gives great lip service to the glory of Hellene people. In this, the hokiest news article I have ever read, I smell a rat in the form of a hidden agenda. I suspect Gilbert of riding the coattails of Hellenic rights in order to achieve fame and riches based on eloquent praise and clever public relations. I also suspect gay turncoats in positions of power who, for whatever ungoddessly reason, promoted Gilbert's design, which isn't even a design in any real sense. 4. I have saved the worst for last. Gilbert said he did not copyright his rainbow design, as it is a gift of love that all may freely partake of it. This is indeed the height of vanity and absurdity. Since his design is merely a rainbow and nothing more, there is no way he could ever copyright it. No one owns the rainbow, Gilbert, nor was it ever possible for you, or anyone else for that matter, to ever possess the rainbow as its sole proprietor. What a maroon! Our queer community takes pride in its artistic sensibilities and great tradition of a long line of the finest artists in history. Yet, we blandly accept, even praise with open arms, a heterosexual artist's plain and unoriginal rendering of 6 stripes of colors for our glorious flag. How could we have let ourselves be so badly duped? Who made this decision? Was there a vote? It seems to me that something so important as our flag should be created by a 100% bona fide Hellene woman or man whose qualifications include at least 5 years active service to our cause, whether in private or public, behind the scenes or right up front. Nor should she or he need to be an artist in the professional sense. I thus propose a contest to replace our 6-color bar flag with one that bespeaks genuine artistry, thereby reflecting some of the blood, sweat, and tears of our community's proud struggle towards the liberation of lesbian and Thracian civil rights. The challenge would be to incorporate the rainbow colors within the flag itself in a novel, not hackneyed, manner. Contestants must be true blue Hellene all the way, in closing, with their entry design, a minimum 5-year record of his or her achievements on behalf of queer rights. A possible variation on this contest would be to select 4 winning designs as alternate flags for different Hellenic occasions or seasons. Voting would be by popular ballot through the Hellene media, such as by newspaper, telephone, or internet. Let's do it. Down with the old flag and up with the new. As far as Gilbert's milquetoast design goes, which is unfortunately our current flag, I am sick of it and definitely have gotten over the rainbow. Have you? And that's it.
I like the part where you talk about how no one owns the rainbow goober.
I think shortly afterwards, maybe a month or so later, I wrote The World Belongs to Moi, which is, you know, which is a parody on the rainbow being copyrighted, so everybody is drugged and hypnotized by the government so they can't see the rainbow colors.
Did you mention, I had to go out to the car to make sure that the radio was working. I periodically go out and check, you know, because sometimes I find that it isn't, and everything seems to be working fine tonight and, you know, other times. But, God, I don't know. It just, I don't remember you saying anything about the rainbow gathering. Did you talk about the rainbow gatherings?
No, I don't care about that stuff.
That's something else entirely. It's not in your purview.
No. I checked out the radical fairies. These are just spoiled upper middle class queers. They're just boring people. And I thought, you know, I wanted to, I wanted to get away from the city. This was years ago, I think in the late 80s. And someone told me, well, the radical fairies, they have, you can go up there for cheap and camp out. They have the sessions. Well, you know, for me to do that, I had to be part of a circle jerk. So, you know, I didn't go up there.
I'm not really sure. The radical fairies?
Well, they're a big part of the rainbow gathering.
Oh, I didn't know that. I know some kids who went there. I know one kid who went there and came back so messed up that he, you know, hid under his house and wouldn't put on clothes for a few months.
I understand
there's a lot of drugs involved.
I've never been drawn to these types of gatherings. You know, when I first was influenced by the free speech movement, Vietnam War and stuff, I was in college, University of Missouri, and I went to communes and stuff like that, and I found, for the most part, very idiotic and stupid. And but I've always been like that since I'm a kid. I never liked what a lot of people like, you know. Raised lower middle class, and there was, you know, I was intellectual, and everyone else wanted to be a jock, and there's this crazy dysfunctional family stuff all around me, and I didn't like big events. I only went to one rock concert in my life, and that was when I went to college, Three Dog Night. I sneaked in. I left after a few minutes. I just did not like all that loud, pulsing noise and people acting crazy. I liked small gatherings of friends, intimate gatherings, and maybe read stories, tell stories to each other, just enjoy each other's company. I don't like everything that's offered for entertainment these days, including the gay pride march and stuff. Just lots of noise, generic music. You know, I would have liked to have seen things become like real musicians or undiscovered musicians in the queer community, playing, you know, one little group, one person in each corner, you know, violin, guitar, drums, whatever. No acoustics, just natural music, not super loud, booming everywhere. But no, our society didn't go that way.
Okay, so, well, that's like in...
I can barely hear you.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Is this
working a little better?
A little bit.
Okay, all right. I can't remember what I was saying. I just realized I'm getting a little sleepy now. I didn't have a nap before I came to do my show. Usually I fall asleep for like 5 or 10 minutes, you know, or maybe 15 minutes before I come to do the show. And it generally lasts all night. It charges me up and I can... But I just... I don't know. It's just... So I'm going to have another sip of my tea here.
The weather has been very humid. On the cool side, which I like.
Go forward.
Weather here... I don't know if it's been like that up.
Oh, the sun! The sunset was spectacular. On my way, I was driving here on my way to come to Fort Bragg from Albion, because the air is there's a lot of particulate matter in the air because of the fires north of here, and the air swirls around. And I've been coughing, you know, a little bit. I'm very sensitive to smoke, but it isn't so bad. Really, it's just I've been coughing a little more than usual, but the sunset was just this killer sunset. The sun was at 5 or 10 degrees up from the horizon, not on the horizon, and it was this this totally tolerable dimness and a brilliant reddish orange, and it was really lovely to look at. And I thought, I wonder if it'd be possible if we could arrange some kind of eclipse to happen when it looks like that, because I would go to see that.
Maybe in our future our technology will be advanced enough.
Oh, yeah, we'll be able to do that. We'll be able to, you know, click and go to the right place at the right time. Much cheaper to travel in time than actually arrange the, you know, confluence of the spheres.
Yeah, we were born in the wrong era.
No, I don't know. I like it here. I like this one.
Beautiful crescent moon tonight, though.
But there's a lot of shit in the air around here. You can't see the sky at night here for the last few weeks.
Oh.
tomorrow's
a big day for San Francisco.
Why is that?
Well, supposedly the Nazi rally.
Oh God.
Chrissy Field, yes. But then I bumped into the manager of my building a couple hours ago, going down the stairs, and I said, you ready for tomorrow? I said, what's that? I said, the Nazi rally. I said, oh, they're canceling. I said, what? I heard this morning the park system said they're going to go ahead and permit it. I said, do you mean the organization, that the Nazis themselves said they're going to cancel it? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's good news. But I can't get online to find out, and the radio stations, I haven't been able to find one, the time myself where I could hear that. So I have to wait till tomorrow morning and see what's really going on.
Yeah, just don't go there. Why walk into the teeth of a monster?
Well, one doesn't have to. It's coming to our door. It's come to our doorsteps. You know, and you know, to have any Nazi the park system is like all other levels of government, they've been infiltrated by Christian evangelist types. There were articles about 10, 15 years ago about how the Christians are making a concerted effort to get into the park system and all this stuff.
And into all the governmental systems. I have, there's something, the 10 dominions or the 8 dominions or the 5 dominions, some number of dominions. I have some articles to read about that a little bit later on in the show. I hope I get to that before I run out of steam.
I would assume there are type also managing or heading different aspects of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area at this point, and they made us wait. They wouldn't let the public know, or they said we don't think we can make a decision yes or no until Friday. Friday meaning the day right before the rally. And why are they doing that? No, they're just being assholes. They intend to let it happen, but they're going to keep us guessing because they hold the power and they're you know, juvenile IQs. So then it was in the newspaper this morning. They're going to allow it to occur.
It's not a freedom of speech issue. They're fucking Nazis.
Yeah, of course. And of course, it's not a freedom of speech issue. And Mayor Ed Lee said that's just a cop out. But you know, they want to create this mayhem and havoc. And these Christian idiots are I don't know. Well, and then people were saying, someone suggested on Facebook that why don't people park, everyone park their cars, deliver in the parking lots around Chrissy Field, so they'll have to be outside of the federal area where they can't carry guns. It'll be illegal to carry armaments. And I thought, well, and then now they're suggesting depositing dog poop all over Chrissy Field and so on, as if that's really gonna have an effect. I mean, it didn't work. It didn't work in Germany. It's stuff like that. You know, the only thing that worked was an underground resistance. You know, not the silliest.
And it didn't work. It didn't work there very well. That didn't work very well. That's a nightmare. I found the article that I was. I'm going to actually skip ahead to the articles about the plans Christian radicals have for America, and I've got some audio to play on that subject too. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about before I hung up on you?
No, not really. It's okay. I mean, I have things to tell about my homeless friends and things.
Oh, hey, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Zach is he's been a good friend for years, and he's an amazing person, and he's watches over a lot of other people. He really, really likes me, and he just got a big old dog, a pit bull. I can't stand pit bulls, and I don't know why. Yet I seem to be having friends who have pit bulls, but this one's very, very sweet. It's a big head. It's a master pit bull, of course, but very sweet and all this stuff. He takes really good care of it. But, you know, when I first met him, he was kind of messy and dirty, but I knew there's something special about him and good about him. That, you know, and I finally got to talk with him, and a few times I tell him, you know, you should get rid of the shopping cart. You can do better than that. You're a unique person, really good. He goes, oh, I'll do what I want. I'll do it. But a couple years later, he started cleaning up his act. It's very impressive and stuff. And I had a couple of more. I got to know him more. There's a couple of things I tried to tell him the other night, and he just sort of blew up my face and walked away. But the thing is, he does follow through. He just makes it difficult at first. But I realized, don't worry about it. He's going to follow through and stuff like that, you know. And, he has a beautiful New Orleans accent. Very, very handsome man. And always bringing me little gifts and asking how I am. And
little gifts? What kind of little gifts?
Oh, he'll bring me maybe a little box that's a clock. You open it, you can store stuff in it, and it's kind of funky looking. It's very cute. Oh, he brought me a really nice pair of combat boots last year.
Wow, that's expensive.
Well, he's part of the black market around here.
I see.
He gets access to things.
Combat boots that he's the... I know a guy, he can get you some nice combat boots that they fall off a truck and he's always standing right there.
Yeah, well, I like to joke around sometimes with him, says, "Those shoes are nice." Oh, I got them off a dead hobo. Well, he wasn't dead when I sold the shoes, but, you know, I took care of that.
Dead
jokes,
Man's Shoes.
Jokes like
That's
that.
A good title for a show, Dead Man's Shoes.
Isn't there a show already named like that?
Probably there is, you know, some HBO.
Yeah,
Dead Man's
yeah.
Shoes. Hell yeah. It's, you know, the guy's a dentist and his wife is, you know, she's a spiritualist and the kids are all into hockey and time travel. They have everything's got time travel in it anymore for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't know.
Ultimate escapism. You escape into the past before time travel was developed and then you're home free.
Yeah, well, they got there's something called Next Door. It's for different neighbors. It's actually a national service that provides local forums, and there's one for San Francisco neighborhoods. So I like to read what's going on. I was booted out of it a few months ago because
why?
Well, because I was speaking well for some of the homeless, there were others that are dangerous. I said, you got to know who these are. Just because you're homeless, if you become homeless, does it make you a saint? Some of these people are very dangerous and cause trouble.
What kind of trouble?
And some are very nice. And
tell me about it. I don't know about this trouble. What kind of trouble do some of the homeless people
have? Violence.
Oh.
Screaming and disturbing the peace all
night
long.
Oh, the screaming, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and shooting up and being messy about it and acting crazy and breaking into homes. It's been on a sharp increase in the cast and others.
Really?
Because the police are the new laws where they're looking the other way more because they're stretched and there's more worse crime they deal with. So now they won't look into a robbery in a home if what is stolen the value is under $1,200, something like that.
Really?
And so there's always, you know, a small percentage of really smart people in the streets, and they know the laws and what they can get away with, and they go right ahead and push the envelope more. So they know they can break into these homes, and if they do get caught, they'll just be put out on the streets the next day. So anyway, so people are concerned, and I said, well, someone mentioned one guy, Dane. He's been around for years. He'll scream and yell up and up. He started stalking me and screaming at me. And he was going into a taqueria below me, and they give him free beans and rice. And so I come in there one day, this woman's working there. I said, don't give that guy food anymore. He's been stalking me and threatening me and harassing other gay people there, too. And he's gay himself. He's just crazy, right? And she said, that would be discrimination. Oh, no, that would be discrimination. She didn't really let me explain. I said, my point of view is, if these people are going to be on the streets, going to act like that, if people stop rewarding them for bad behavior, some of them will get a clue and straighten out their act and be polite and civil. But they're basically rewarding them for this behavior. Then I see a few nice ladies start screaming at me. That lady told me that you told her not to give me food. So she had the nerve to just go and tell him that I said that.
Yeah. Well, you did.
And I wonder if there's any homophobia involved, because I told her I'm a gay activist or whatever, and so she thinks, because I'm gay, I deserve to be treated like this or whatever, you know, Mexican Catholic and all that other stuff. So anyway, this guy...
Who is a Mexican Catholic? I must have missed that part of the story.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, you know, a lot of immigrants are from Latino countries, and they have the heavy Catholic thing, and there's a lot of homophobia with that.
A
lot of homophobia.
I understand.
You know, whenever we have immigrants, and see, the society doesn't want to recognize, it's also, I mean, we need to pass a law. If you're homophobic, we won't let you in, or do something else strict. But that's all very sloppy, and so, you know, we gays always are at the bottom of the heap, and it's very difficult. Hmm. So this guy Dane is just a horrible person. And they mentioned him, and I said he's an awful person. Someone said, and he's an awful person, he's been on the streets for years, and someone said on this next group, no, he's got a roof over his head now. I said, well, you wouldn't know it, because he's still dressed, and he's still smelly and dirty looking. and screens at people. Sometimes when they have the Jewish film festival for a week, he'll stand in front and say the most awful things against Jews and so forth.
Maybe he's disabled. He's got that Tourette's disorder that makes you just say things that you can't help it.
I don't think he has Tourette's, though.
Oh, okay.
Because his insult, the things he says, don't come out of the blue and disconnected. The thoughts are well organized. They're over with it, right? And then someone else said, I live next door to him. I think you're awful for saying that about him. But I said, no, he's horrible behaving.
Oh.
He still is. I'm glad he has a roommate, but he still is. Well, then other people, see, what happened is that they have a very poor administration of next door. If you get so many complaints, you know, they click on a button, report, maybe 5 in 1 week or 10, they'll cut you off. And they don't look into it. So if you don't like someone, you can just keep clicking until you build up enough reports and they won't be on anymore. And that's it. So that's how I got bumped out of it. The ironic thing was, a few years ago, Dane had pulled someone out of a burning car, so he became sort of a local hero. I said, oh my God. You know, the first
Yeah, so unfair. Okay. Yeah.
And then another time there was a feature article in I think the SF Weekly about the characters of San Francisco, and Dane was one of the people who was featured. I said, he's no local character.
Okay.
He's a horrible person. There's no character in that. And you know, it gets me. They say only in San Francisco. No, this goes on in every
city. Okay. Yeah. So I used to live near a guy who. I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. Go on.
I can still read the goings-on, what people are talking about. So I read about 2 days ago, and they described someone who fit the description of my Zach. And up in Dolores Park, so he has a big dog, and he got aggressive. I was walking my dog, got aggressive, and he wouldn't wake up for nothing. Well, I know, Zach, you can wake up the dead before you can wake up Zach when he's ready to crash out. That's it. A bomb could drop, and he wouldn't wake up. Yeah, and his dog likes to show off and protect him by barking, but the dog's very sweet and stuff. And people tend to overreact, nervous, but Zach is doing a couple of things wrong. I need to talk to him about it. But also it was funny that I'm reading about my friends in the newspaper. But, you know, I wanted to tell them this could be an opportunity. Everyone's got cameras now, you know. And one of the things he does, he goes to the garbage cans, and he leaves a mess. And I want to tell him, you need to stop doing that. You need to keep it clean. And I thought, here you have an opportunity. Everyone's watching. So if you clean up after yourself, and then you actually go out of your way a bit to clean up after other messes in whatever neighborhood you're at, someone might just come out and say thank you and give you some money, even make you a home-cooked meal, which some people do. They started a funding for coffee and snacks for Jenny, who's a very nice woman on the streets, keeps to herself, at Pete's Coffee. They can go into Pete's Coffee and plop down 5 or 10 or 20 bucks, put this on Jenny's account. They know the nice people, and this is what I want to do, to attract, as long as we're going to have homeless, to attract and keep the decent ones, which will help drive out the crazy, dangerous ones.
Where will they go? When you say drive, huh? Drive them out, where would they go?
Away from here.
Oh, just somebody else's neighborhood.
Well, I'm saying the gay communities get hit worse by the homeless more than any others, because they bring the homophobia with them. Most of these people are raised biblically. And so you have a homeless person in a regular neighborhood, bad enough. But when in a gay neighborhood, you get all this other crap going on. It makes it more dangerous. So I focus on caring about the gay community. These other communities, the straight communities, they should, you know, they shouldn't just stop pushing these people into gay neighborhoods and treating us like, you know, we deserve this crap. We don't. Need to spread the misery, share the misery. Don't focus it all on us. We have enough problems, right? That's how I see it. So I know, it's funny. I wanted to tell him you have a chance. If people see you clean up, because people are watching now. Everybody's got cameras, and there are some dangerous people on the streets, and they have every reason to be alarmed. Yes, some of them, a lot of them, these homeowners are assholes. They come in, you know, oh, his dog almost attacked, whatever. You know, if I could have participated, I would say no. It's actually a really nice guy. It's not like that at all. You get to know him. But but know that people are watching with cameras, and they see someone who's cleaning up and taking good care, they'll probably give you some money. They'd rather have you there rather than some crazy person they have to deal with, you know. So I wanted to tell him that. I said, oh, by the way, about online, he just jumped, just snapped at me. Said, oh, you're gossiping. You're gossiping all this stuff. He just like, and I said, you're exaggerating and taking out all proportion. You know, I wanted to joke with him about it and then suggest that you do this. You're going to piss people off if you leave garbage around, and it's bad. It's unhealthy. You know, the rats will populate more, and you get the raccoons, and some of them have rabies, and you know you want.
But they're so cute. Raccoons are just the cutest things, especially when they're tearing up a trash can.
Yeah, but from a distance, we got one on Noe Street, a big old raccoon that crosses the street.
No, we have one living in the attic of the radio station. We can't get rid of him.
Really?
Yeah. He comes in, he goes out. He goes out the back somehow, gets up in the attic, and you can't get in there to get it out because it's very close. Jerry tried, you know, but I heard him a little earlier today. And sometimes he gets in between the walls of this building and the next building. I mean, they're very close together. It looks like one building, but they're actually two buildings. You could take one out and the other one would still stay standing. Something gets in there and kind of crawls along sideways.
You
know,
living in an urban area and having an increase in raccoons and coyotes and other creatures.
I wish we could have fire foxes, you know, little red pandas, because they're even cuter than raccoons.
A fire fox?
Fire fox, yeah. It's the colloquial term for red panda. Very close to a raccoon. They're beautiful little ants.
And from China?
Yeah, they live, I don't know where they live. I think they live in Indonesia, and they might have them in India. And
They've got them in zoos all over the world. Do we need a lot of bamboo growing?
No, I think they just eat garbage like everybody else.
Oh, okay. Well, in the urban areas, we've got to control the garbage, keep the lids on and sealed and stuff like that.
Or just move the raccoons out and bring in some pandas. Even the big pandas would be great to have in the city. Yeah. Lots of big pandas living in the alleys.
I see the homeless situation from both sides, you know, from people who lose over their heads and people are on the streets. And both groups are assholes in some ways, and both groups are right on in some ways, you know. And I tried to explain this to Zach, but he wouldn't hear it. He just walked away. So, but he'll come back, you know, and he'll either apologize or straighten out. He'll tell me, oh, guess what? I cleaned up around and stuff like that. And he will. He's a very good man. Just I don't know. I think he just likes to give me a hard time for a little while, see how I handle it.
That's probably it.
Because he always follows up.
Okay,
he's a very thoughtful man. I tried to explain to him, you're not like some of these other people on the streets. You know, he talks about it. He said, you said this guy's bad. You warned me about him. He's been very nice. I haven't seen him for months. I said, no, he talked about a guy named Patrick. Don't know. He's dangerous. There's a reason he's been banned from being in the Castro. Starts fires and he gets violent sometimes. I said, be careful. You know, But,
Zeke, I'm sorry. It's just not anything about you or anything that you're doing or saying. I'm just I'm realizing that I'm running out of steam from talking on the phone instead of reading.
Well, that's fine. It's great calling in as usual and reading a tale and chatting a bit.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling to read your story. And next week, if you'd send me a story to read, I'll read it.
Okay. Have fun with the rest of the show. My Wi-Fi connection is not up, so I haven't been able to listen.
Okay, good luck with your project, and maybe you could look into getting some of those pandas in there and replace the raccoons. Because people would like that.
That doesn't sound particularly realistic.
Well, they're neater, but sometimes they bite you. You know, you have to be careful. You have to play nice. You can't, you know, trick them and offer them something and pull your hand away because they don't like that at all.
I've already got a couple of pandas out there that I watch over, so.
Okay, goodbye, Zeke.
All right, bye-bye.